tomorrow. Lean on me when you're not strong, and I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on, for it won't be long till I'm gonna need somebody to lean.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community and Death. Oh, I love that song. I love the sound of it, but I also really love the meaning of it, and I think it is going to be a perfect introduction for our interview today. We want to welcome to KDWA Shannon Bailey. She is a licensed social worker, but she also works for Dakota County as their Public Health Department Mental Health Promotion and Suicide Prevention Coordinator. And we are thrilled to have you on with us today because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we want to be sure that we talk about some things that we perhaps don't get an opportunity to do so. So first of all, Shannon, thank you so much for calling in today. How are things at Dakota County?
Thank you for the time today. I really appreciate that you're taking time throughout the month of May to promote May as Mental Health Month. So often when spring comes and the beautiful leaves are blooming and the birds are chirping, we think that everyone is feeling better, but that isn't necessarily the case. As we come out of winter, some people struggle with a sense of coming back into community, and as we're experiencing this social isolation and community quarantine, we know that segments of our population are really at risk. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about this today.
Shannon, I know that Dakota County actually has a hotline that we can call, and maybe this is a good time to give that number out. And then I want to get into, maybe some of the populations that you serve or could potentially serve that we don't really think about. So first of all, tell us about that phone number, please.
Sure. The Dakota County Public Health COVID-19 hotline is 952-891-7834. And you asked me about populations I serve. Was that correct?
Yes.
My role is essentially to monitor the mental health and well-being of the population of Dakota County. So we look at how people are doing, from children and adolescents to young adults as people age. And I spend a lot of time focusing on adolescents and young adults. I know that Hastings Helping Kids Succeed, the coalition in town, is very dedicated to the well-being of young people. But for me, as I put on my suicide prevention hat, I am very concerned about the well-being of boys and men. And the reason that we're concerned about boys and men is that in terms of completed suicide, 4 times as many males die from suicide than females. And the reason we see such a significant increase in completed suicide for males is typically related to their method. They typically die from using the firearm that's in their home, that's easily accessible, or they hang themselves. And we don't see females typically using those methods. And so when I work with suicide prevention, I'm really wanting to reach men, and so I'm very appreciative of this opportunity to speak to your listeners, especially those who are in rural communities, people who are involved in farming, especially as it relates to the challenging circumstances that they're finding themselves in with global warming, with the tariffs related to their product, and now with the issues related to the pandemic. Myself and people across Minnesota and across the country who work in suicide prevention are very concerned about our farmers. Another risk factor that worries us or concerns us about boys and men is that they are far less likely to talk to someone when they're distressed. They probably have a sense that they need to focus on dealing with it alone. They have a responsibility to taking care of their families. So we know that people who are economically distressed right now with losing their jobs or being furloughed, or in the case of farming, just really suffering with financial loss, men are less likely to ask for help. They tend to just have a triggering event where they feel distressed and feel that they would be a burden to their family. And so today, if there are farmers listening or loved ones who are involved in farming, spouses, children, extended family, it's very, very important to be noticing observable changes in what a person is saying or their behavior that might indicate distress or hopelessness or helplessness.
You know, those certainly are things that we would all want to watch out for with loved ones, but what are some examples of that, please?
Absolutely. With men, they're less likely to even say things like that. I think that if you noticed a loved one feeling distress because of a loss of a job, or if they're in a business, they own their own business, if they're a farmer and they're financially distressed, and they're spending a lot of time alone trying to figure out finances, trying to look at all their options and feeling like they don't have options to meet the needs of their family, those would be indicators. Other indicators that we need to be looking for as the pandemic goes on, this pandemic might be something that we're experiencing for the rest of 2020 and perhaps even into the winter of 2021. And so if we see people who are beginning to increase their use of alcohol or other drugs, or sleeplessness, or oftentimes another indicator in terms of depression and sleep disorders are people who are able to go to sleep, but they're not able to sleep through the night. So they wake up at 2 a.m. and they can't get back to sleep. Another common indicator of depression that we often misunderstand is irritability. So if you're living with someone you love, or maybe you're noticing this in yourself, maybe a recent turn in their mood and being irritable or crabby. And often what happens when we have someone in our family who's irritable, we tend to push them away. We tend to be short with them. We tend to kind of be maybe argumentative with them. But really, when we see someone with new mood changes, it's really important, instead of responding to the behavior, to really remind them that how much you love them and care about them, and ask them, how can I support you through these difficult times?
You know, so many of the farmers that I know, they're good farmers because they're used to being in charge of themselves and not asking for help. They're entrepreneurs in their own right and not necessarily somebody that relies on others. You're at the whim of Mother Nature and many things. So how do you get through to somebody like that? Or how do you reach out to somebody who maybe doesn't necessarily think that they need help?
Thank you for the question. I think one way is exactly what you're doing, and I'm so appreciative to be speaking with you today about this. I really struggle. I'm looking at, can I engage more faith communities to get the message out through faith communities? I'm also looking at, I was planning to do this, although this plan has stopped, and hopefully we can do this sometime in the coming year. I wanted to teach people who work in barbershops some basic ways of talking to one of their clients, if they notice a change in behavior, or if they hear things that are distressing, if someone's sharing concerns that they have, teaching people some really simple ways of expressing our concern and our compassion so that we can draw people closer to us to say, you are not alone. I am with you. I want to help you. Another thing that I wanted to mention is that the Minnesota Department of Ag established the Minnesota Farm and Rural Helpline, and I'd like to share that number, 833-600-2670.
And who would call this, please?
And this is for farmers or their family members. And I've talked to people at this helpline. I've investigated this more. And the people who answer the line are retired farmers or their spouses. So these are people who have experience with farming. They know what it's like when the bank isn't going to offer you another refinance. for example. And so these are safe, confidential, experienced people who understand the culture of farming, of pride, of not wanting to ask for help, are available. And because of these very, you know, unique circumstances with the pandemic, we really want to say that this is available and to not be ambivalent about the concern about asking for help, because this is a confidential way of getting support.
You know, farming really is stressful, isn't it? Because it's a real risky business. And then you don't have any control, really, about how it all shakes out.
I think it's extremely honorable. It, you know, we've got third and fourth and fifth generation farming families. I think that I would definitely promote and encourage young people to explore continuing their family farming operation and practices. I think what we really want to do, though, is to just really reach out, break down that stigma. One thing that I like to share when I'm talking to people at churches and at schools, I go to clinics sometimes and talk to the staff there. I have one of my daughters lives with a mental illness, and she and I are very public. I have her permission to talk about it. And she was diagnosed in college, and I didn't know that this was going to happen. I had no idea. And what's important is to know that 1 in 5 Americans live with mental illnesses like depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and others. And so for me, I'm supporting a young adult daughter who will have to take medication and see a therapist and see a psychiatrist forever to manage her symptoms. But the good news is that 85% of people who get help, who see their local family physician or pediatrician, who get help, get better. So knowing that 85% of people who get help get better, that's what really motivates people like me, my daughter, and others who live with mental illness to say, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to ask for help.
Why does that stigma still continue?
You know, I talk with people from immigrant populations and refugee communities, and there, I know without a doubt that there's stigma across the globe, across cultures. It's amazing the stories I hear from other communities and countries. I think that the stigma is getting better with millennials and younger generations. I think that the stigma is lessening. I think that understanding that these are brain-based biological disorders, of the way that neurotransmitters communicate, that's really all it is. I'm oversimplifying it, but really these things are passed down through families. I didn't know that I was passing down the mental illness that my daughter developed, but I'm 58 years old, and I'm quite certain that there's one or two people in my history who had the same symptoms my daughter experiences, but in those generations, nobody was diagnosed. And so now we know so much more to know that a mental illness like depression, for example, or eating disorders are no different than any other biological medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure. These are all medical conditions that are treatable when you see your physician. You follow their recommendations.
So what would you recommend for people if they're listening? Either they are thinking of someone in their life that perhaps could use some help, or if it's somebody that is maybe out on a tractor right now that might be listening to KDWA, what would you recommend?
Thank you. Wow. I would say to them, it takes great courage to ask for help. It is not a weakness to ask for help or to talk to someone, grab a friend or a relative and just sit down on your porch or grab a beer in your, you know, wherever in your dining room and just have a conversation about what's happening. I think that to say, this is what's happening, to describe what's happening and to talk about what our options are. When people share with me that they're distressed, I've had many people share with me that they have had thoughts or are having thoughts of wanting to kill themselves. I always say to them, it takes courage to ask for help. And when you ask for help, we will walk together in getting you the support that you need and deserve. And I know that there are many highly skilled professional therapists and counselors and faith leaders in Hastings. I know them, many of them personally. Hastings Family Service is wonderful, helping kids succeed. There are so many resources in town that are available. And one last thing I really want to do is assure people of confidentiality. Thinking about a smaller community, all medical and healthcare professionals are certainly obligated to assure confidentiality. I would also certainly think about the faith communities in town. There's many extremely wise faith leaders within Hastings community. I know that you've in the past have talked about the Dakota County Crisis Response Unit. I'd like to give that number, and that's 952-891-7171. And you don't have to be in a crisis to call them. You can be, certainly, but if you want to consult maybe about your spouse and just have someone to talk about the changes they've noticed in them, this is a wonderful resource to call and just say, this is what's happening. Can you give me some feedback? What do you think? And offer some next steps for maybe getting some support.
Wonderful advice. Thank you so much. Our guest today is Shannon Bailey. She is a licensed social worker with Dakota County, and we will post quite a few of those numbers that you gave us as well. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're grateful that you took the time to chat with us. Thank you again. You are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Lean on me.